All right, good evening, good evening.
Good evening.
I like that deep voice. Good job. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 12 this week, and as we continue churning our way through Mark, Gospel of Mark. This evening we'll be discussing the Sadducees and their question to Jesus. Obviously they're trying to trip him up. They reject the key doctrine of the resurrection, which is crucial in the Old Testament. I'll be talking about that in a few moments. But I want to first of all read Mark 12:18-27. This is God's holy word. And Sadducees came to him who say there is no resurrection. And they asked him a question, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but leaves no child, the man must take the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. There were seven brothers, and the first took a wife, and when he died, left no offspring. And the second took her and died, leaving no offspring. And the third likewise, and the seven left no offspring. Last of all, the woman also died. In the resurrection, when they rise again, whose wife will she be? For the seven had her as wife. Jesus said to them, Is this not the reason you are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God? For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, the burning bush, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this very interesting portion of your word. Thank you for the reminder that heaven is a realm of righteous men and women made perfect, a sinless place, a place where there's no more death, but only life continually, and we'll be like angels. It's fascinating to think. And we're reminded, Lord, of the great day of resurrection coming. Lord, help us now in this study tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. It would be helpful to just lay out the four particular groups of people that seem to always be going against Jesus or around Jesus, but they were the four dominant groups in this time in the life of the New Testament. First, I'll just, they're not in any necessary order, but the Pharisees, we all are familiar with the Pharisees and their clashes with Jesus. They're the religious conservatives, the hardliners, the legalists. Then the Sadducees, who we're dealing with in this text here, they're the theological liberals of that era, theological liberals. The third one is the Essenes, which you don't hear too much. They're the ones who kind of like were located around the Dead Sea Scrolls and southern, southeastern Dead Sea area, kind of mystics. In fact, they were the religious mystics. They were those who were definitely were from a bizarre angle, living in the desert. People thought John the Baptist might have been in a scene, but he was like them, a voice crying in the wilderness. Then the last group is the Zealots. They're the activists, the religious activists, the political revolutionaries. So you have the political revolutionaries, the Zealots, you have the Essenes, the mystics. You have the Sadducees, the theological liberals, who denied a key doctrine, which we'll study in just a moment, the doctrine of the resurrection. And then, of course, the religious conservatives, the Pharisees. Let's pray and ask God to bless his time again. Lord, help us now as we seek to better understand this context and then the application. It's in your name we pray. Amen. I'll just give you mainly the references, but the key statement is on page, on verse 18, where it says, the Sadducees came to him and they said, there's no resurrection. Where in the Old Testament does it say there's a resurrection? Well, many places. I did a major study on this whole thing. And what I came to is the key Old Testament statements are found in Job 19. I know my Redeemer lives, that section of Scripture. Psalm 16. I won't give the verses, I'll just give you the chapters. Psalm 49, Psalm 73, Psalm 139, and then, of course, Daniel 12. These are the main sections. It was a dominant doctrine. It is, to this day, obviously, a powerful doctrine. In fact, it is so powerful that Jesus, I think, summed it all up in two verses. Let's go to John for a second, John 5. In John 5, verses 28 and 29, Jesus said, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Powerful. Go with me also just real quickly to John 11. John 11. This is such an encouraging one too. John 11. 23 to 26. This is the text where Jesus was weeping over the death of Lazarus. And it says in verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and greatly troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them could not see that he had opened their eyes of the blind, but also have kept this man from dying. It's a powerful reminder again of the resurrection. We'll go also to chapter 11, the same section, and look at verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days, and Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house, and Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you have been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give it to you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said, yes, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. See, there's going to be a final resurrection at the end of history, the final day, on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And she said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. Powerful reminders here. Now let's go back to the interesting text. And they're trying to stump up Jesus and confuse him, but to no avail. And this is in verses 18 to 23. I'll pick it up with verse 20. There were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and when he died, left no offspring, and the second took her and died, leaving no offspring, and the third likewise, and the seven left no offspring. Last of all, a woman also died, yet in the resurrection they will rise again. Whose wife will she be? For the seven had her as a wife. What needs to be understood about this group of people, the Sadducees, that they were annihilationists. They believed that the soul would die at death. Therefore, there's no resurrection, no life. So Jesus points out what was already a key thing, and that was for the reality of the fact that it was an absurd question to trap him. John MacArthur says this is the Leverite marriage section, which he said was to keep, it was a section of which the people were to keep the inheritance within the family tribe. If only applied when the surviving brother was single, he was not to divorce his existing wife nor marry his deceased brother's wife in addition to his own wife. If there was no surviving unmarried brother to marry the widow, then the case would relate to what we know from the Book of Ruth. In other words, an extended family would have to fulfill that if there was no brother to come and fulfill that. So this is, but the bottom line is, if you believe in the resurrection, then we know it's all going to work out for God's glory. But in this case, they were hypocrites trying to trap Jesus, trying to show that he had an absurd belief. And it's a reminder here again of the confusion that can happen when people misunderstand basic doctrine, basic theological doctrine from Scripture. If you misunderstand it, you'll be confused and you'll reject it. Go with me to Daniel for a second. Daniel 12. Daniel 12, it mentions that, again, the resurrection. Daniel 12, this is at the end of history. And again, it's reaffirming what Jesus said in John 5. And it says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's coming a great day of resurrection, a great day of resurrection, a great reminder here to us that this picture here tells us that though we die, one day our body will be raised. The dead in Christ will be raised first. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17. There'll be a great resurrection, as Jesus said, and then there'll be the sheep and goats judgment, or the separation. In Matthew 25, there'll be the resurrection of some people call it the rapture, but there's only one resurrection at the end of history, and they'll be raised, and with that resurrection, they'll receive light. Whereas the resurrection to death will be the judgment of Matthew 25:46. In fact, let's go there, Matthew 25. And the sheep and goats judgment, at the end of that 31-46 of Matthew 25, he goes and he says, these will go off into eternal punishment, verse 46, but the righteous into eternal life. So there's a resurrection that very few people like to talk about. There's one resurrection, but it has two facets, unto life, unto death. Unto life, unto eternal punishment. And this is a powerful, powerful reminder for each of us here that this picture, even though they meant to trap Jesus, is a reminder to all of us here that there are some lessons for us to learn to grasp this. And let's look at this right now. For example, look at verse 24 of Mark 12. Jesus said to them, this is the passage referring to the seven left, verse 22. The seven left no offspring. Last of all, the woman also died. In the resurrection, when they rise again, whose wife will she be? For she had, the seven had her as a wife. And here's what he says. Is this not the reason you are wrong? Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. So this is a powerful reminder for us to ask ourselves, do we know what spiritual power is in our lives? Have we ever experienced the power of God? Think of this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, it's the power of God. The gospel is the power of God. Do I know the power of God? If any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do I know that change of life? Well, these men were they were doctrinal liberals, theological liberals. They were trying to trap Jesus. They were frustrated because Jesus had obviously, toward the other groups of people, had shown himself to be astute and amazing. And in fact, at the end of verse 11, we're challenged to think marvelously about Jesus' amazing way of with words and how he's able to bring things to a head. And here we see this reminder here again in verse 24 of this portion. Neither do they know the scriptures nor the power of God. They were ignorant of the scriptures, and it should challenge us to read the scriptures, to pray the scriptures, to obey the scriptures. Otherwise, what ends up happening is we end up becoming ignorant of the scriptures and drift away to a dishonoring life without Christ. The lesson in verse 25 is for us to take heed now. So what's this driving at them? The seven young men who ended up not taking the wife, whose wife was she? Seven men had her. And so what does it tell us? It tells us this, verse 25. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are they given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. In other words, the lesson to learn in verse 25 is this. There is no marriage in heaven. Their theology led them astray. They could be against the resurrection, but what being against the resurrection led them to assume that this transitioning went on with one Jesus theology would lead them to one view after another offspring, and seven finally left. Had her as a wife, and yet, which one was it? Well, the confusion was a reminder here to realize that they needed to submit to the scriptures, which they didn't hold to. Even though Job 19 and the other passages were very clear, the reminder to all of us here is this: you could still be ignorant of the scriptures. You could still be confused, and you can hold the views that are completely opposite of scripture because of the emotion of it. So Jesus responds and says, there's no marriage. We're all like angels. So where's all this going? It's going to heaven. All of us will be in heaven one day, and we marrying and giving in marriage in heaven. If you're married today, obviously, and then you die, and it's not like you're going to be with your wife or your spouse in heaven. We're all going to be there, but we're like angels. We're going to be brethren, brothers and sisters in Christ, in the company of righteous men and women made perfect. There's no marriage. So their whole idea of trying to trip Jesus up, he corrects it quickly and says there's no marriage. So what are they going to do? Well, the problem is, They thought they were handling the scriptures in a way that would refute Jesus. But look at this in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3. In Exodus 3, notice it's a fulfillment of what Jesus says at the end. Mark 12, our text, is a quotation of Exodus 3. And here's what it basically says is this. He says, in verse 26, "And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses," Exodus 3, 6, "in the passage about the bush, how God spoke to him, saying, 'I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not God of the dead, but of the living.' You are quite wrong." So, in other words, the lesson is this. Don't be ignorant of God's word. Don't be ignorant of God's power. Don't reject the scriptures. Don't go off and believe doctrines like they did that would reject the resurrection from the dead, that would not uphold the God is a God of the living, not a God of the dead. He's alive. So God's alive. The resurrection is coming. It's surely all of us, when we die, we're in heaven like angels, praising God, thanking God, rejoicing. And all these liberals, like the Sadducees, or the Pharisees who were trying to trip up Jesus, or the Zealots who were living for this world only as religious activists, all of them were wrong. Jesus was right, and he calls us to understand the scriptures, the teaching of the scriptures, and to remind us all that life is, our life is governed by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the God of the living, not the dead, and we will one day, though we die, we will be alive forevermore. What a powerful reminder here to us all. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you indeed are the God of the living, not the God of the dead. And that our lives are locked up in who you are by your grace for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for the message of the gospel, the message of the resurrection from the dead. We know that all of history is moving toward that great apex when all who are in the tombs will come forth, some to life, some to death, eternal death. Lord, help us to draw near to you in this life, to realize the brevity of life, the momentary experience of life. It's a gift from you. Every day should be one in which we are thankful and praise-filled for you, desirous of living every moment that you've given us. Lord, we thank you that indeed you indeed are at work showing us through the word your power, reminding us of your love and your grace as you wept for Lazarus and his family as they experienced death, but knowing that that will not always be the case, that death will die and our lives will live forevermore. We thank you, Lord, for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Thank you for this opportunity to draw near and see the futility of men who reject doctrine true doctrine, and then they're left with believing absurd things that are not founded in Scripture. We thank you that you indeed are the God of the dead, not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. In Jesus' name, amen.